It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 12th day of January 2021. It is Trump-tanic Tuesday on the horn. It is the penultimate Trump-tanic Tuesday because, well, by tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, he won't be president anymore. And my goodness gracious, won't we be happy about that? Yes. Hi, I'm Robin. And as noted, it is Trump-tanic Tuesday, a day for taking note of manifestations of Trump-tanic intellect that sends, for instance, giant steamships forward into seriously more resilient icebergs and such as that. So, strap in. It's going to be busy. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you'd like to augment your listening experience, the usual applies. Feel free to wander on over to headon.live and, well, click on chat room, and if you never have before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump in, and you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Roger and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, while he is in fact a third stage guild navigator, has elected not to fold space and become man cave on this particular afternoon in Northern California. It's not particularly frigid here. We've got the studio up to a comfortable 64 degrees. Heck, I may not even have to use much propane at all back here. I'll be using the propane. Who am I kidding? Right. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. So thanks go out to our 12th day of the month subscribers. And that means, in particular, thanks going out to Paul and to Gary in New York. Thank you very kindly. And thanks again to Rico for the challenge last night. Thank you very much indeed. But to our subscribers, Paul and Gary, many thanks for being partial sponsors of the program. Where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us at $690 to catch up even with the today's date. That's $90 to finish last week's funding, and then yesterday's funding, and then tonight's funding. And so, with that all having been said, it would be magnificent if we could fill in the hole this evening, simply because there's a bill that requires payment tomorrow. It's about that. So, you know, it's just one of the many bills that we have that we have to keep paid in order to keep this little non-commercial broadcast enterprise going. And a reminder for anybody who jumps in at the $120 or more dollar level over at the GoFundMe campaign for my oral surgery, Horn coffee mug. I got a hilarious graphic from our buddy Randy Radar earlier. Said, yeah, kick in $5 and you get this, and it's a coffee mug with the handle on the inside. Because, right. It's a joke. It's a joke. And thanks to Jeremy. First past the post. 1,000 pennies to celebrate your loving grandma's 100th. Well, 100 and, my goodness gracious, what, 21? 127th birthday. Well, thank you. She was a lovely woman, a brilliant woman. And my God, what she had to put up with in her life. You know, she got run over when she was about my age, the age I am now. She got run over, and they broke both of her legs at the knees, and they told her she'd never walk again. And she wasn't having any of that. And as a matter of fact, when she had completed her rehab, she used a cane for the rest of her life, and it hurt like hell, and she rubbed her knees down with Absorbing Junior every evening. I still remember that smell. But by God, she would go out, and she would raise a garden every year. Up into her 80s, she was working a garden. And just an amazing, amazing woman. Oddly enough, she and my grandfather, the man she married, were 1 week apart in age, both born in 1894. He was born January 4th. She was born January the 11th. And they were married on December 24th, 1920, which was the 100 day, also the 100 day anniversary. Their 100th wedding anniversary was the 100 day anniversary of me not having a cigarette. And I'm still not having cigarettes. So there's that. So thanks, Jeremy. That gets us down to 680, and we will go from there. Now, let's see. Huh, yes. Where was I? Robin! Robin's Renaissance. Wow, last night was great. No, not the football game. But having Parson Brown on you was truly terrific. Jeffrey and I really enjoyed the conversation. However, we did not enjoy the game last night because, frankly, we didn't bother to watch it. I was quite convinced of what the outcome would be, and Jeffrey does not care about football because there are no giraffes currently playing football. Yes, Jeffrey?
I prefer basketball because of all the tall people running around, and when I play, being that I'm over 17 feet tall, at least in my mind, I can dunk the basketball with my tongue.
Bet that makes it a little slippery for the inbound.
However, congrats to you and the Crimson Tide for the decisive victory. They were the better team, and they deserved to win.
Now, I have to say, Joey says, that I was intrigued by the name of your guest being Parson Brown. My sister being a Lutheran minister and all, brought to my awareness that a parson was a name which meant minister, and Parson Brown during the 18th and 19th century was the term used for an Anglican priest in that time period. And it's also a reference, there's also the reference from Walking in a Winter Wonderland. And pretend that he is Parson Brown. Yes. To this day, often a minister's residence is referred to a parsonage, and in fact, I think there's a tax exemption for parsonages, and it's still referred to as a parsonage. In some flavors, I think maybe the Episcopalians, they refer to it as a vicarage or some such. I don't know. Anyway, here's Jeffrey.
Yes, I'm not sure about the Parson Brown parsonage thing, but the Parson Brown that you had on the show last night was quite a... Wait for it. The Parson Brown you had on the show last night was quite a personage.
Ha ha. Oh. Well, that was well played, Jeffrey. Yes, and a couple of entries from... Yes, Jeffrey, what is it this time?
I noticed last night that the Hallmark brand has cut ties with Josh Hawley, and the CEO was heard saying, Hawley, Hawley, we did that just in the nick of time. You see, apparently Hallmark was so previously enamored with Josh Hawley that they were going to rename the company. You probably don't want to wait for this one, yes. Hallmark was about to become Hawley Mark. After that one, we must just haul you away, Jeffrey.
Now, before Jeffrey interrupted Joey, a couple of entries from the 8th of January were unintentionally neglected in some Joey's journal in Joey's journal last Friday. So, besides Elvis's birthday on January the 8th of 1964, on January 8th that year, LBJ declared war on poverty with some of his wonderful Great Society programs to help
poor and impoverished people. Ironically, on January 8th in 2002, George W. Bush rolled out his No Child Behind Left, or No Child Left Behind program, which was not funded properly because of all the tax cuts for the rich. And Jeffrey can't leave that alone either. Explaining, yes, thanks to all the tax breaks for the wealthy, No Child Left Behind, it became the program is No Child Left a Dime. Ooh, that's quality. And Jeffrey is correct. Then, of course, we mentioned Elvis's birthday was on the 8th, but guess whose birthday was on the 9th of January? Yes, none other than Richard Milhouse Pinhead Nixon, or just Dick Nixon before he dicks you, for short. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Jeffrey's all wound up this evening. It appears he likes the nickname. Yes, they did call him Dick for short, and they should have labeled him Short Dick. Yeah, Short Dick might have been a more appropriate nickname for Richard Milquetoast Nixon, considering after his second election he had a very short term, and more importantly, Nixon shorted out the deal that LBJ and the Viet Cong had in place to end the Vietnam War all the way back in 68. That would have saved tens of thousands of lives. A lot of people blame Reagan for the beginning of the destruction of the middle class, but actually it was Nixon who nixed the middle class when he put Lewis Powell on the Supreme Court, and the Powell memo was instituted as the playbook for oligarchs to destroy the plebeians' ability to maintain a middle class. Editor's note here, Lewis Powell wrote the Powell memo before he went on the Supreme Court, and it was sort of a reward for it, I suppose. So it is sadly ironic that as both Elvis's and Nixon's birthday are side by side because of that one day, December 21st, 1970, when Elvis stood side by side with Nixon and accepted his NARC badge. Elvis wanted to help end the war on drugs, with the sad irony being that Elvis ended up overdosing in the shitter. It was believed on that day that Elvis was singing Love Me Tender to the porcelain pot. See what Jeffrey did there with cannabis and toy? Yes, I see. Thank you, Jeffrey. I think we need to tone Jeffrey down a lip so I won't pot him up anymore. Entirely different meaning of pot. For those not in the radio business, to pot one up is to raise their gain or their volume. Yes. While we're still in the bathroom. Oh, God. Well, while we're still in the bathroom this day, January 12, 1912, President Taft designated $5 million, that would be $132 million in today's dollars, to finish the Panama Canal. Oh, God, not again. It gets so, sometimes exhausting. Yes, Jeffrey.
Yes, it appears William Taft was sick of getting stuck in his bathtub, so he wanted the U.S. to purchase a body of water where he could safely bathe and remove himself from the basin. Taft did not care if the U.S. took a bath on the deal, just as long as he could bathe, too.
All right, that's enough. Finally, since we're speaking of the Nixon era, on this day 50 years ago in 1971, All in the Family debuted. And much of the civilized country was outraged with Archie Bunker's bigotry. But unfortunately, the other half of this country, the racists, the bigots, and in today's dollars, better known as maggots, thought the show, that was a nice touch, in today's dollars known as maggots, thought that the show was great. All in the Family was the most widely watched TV show in the 70s, as 50 million viewers watched every Saturday night, by far the most successful show of its era. The show had something for everybody, the right-wing bigots, the feminists, and the liberals. Archie Bunker really was the Donald Trump of his day, and the racist bigots adored him as they do Trump. That's the thing. So many people in this country were finding All in the Family funny for all the wrong reasons. And on this penultimate Trumptanic Tuesday, I find the lyrics to All in the Family's theme song incredibly ironic. Yes, the goddess never sleeps, considering your recent renaissance. And you knew when you were then, girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state. Yeah. Well, the bigoted Archie only wished that there were no trans or gay people, but there were, and shallow wonders such as Archie just could not handle that reality. And yes, the reality is, if we're going to make it out of this Don-demic, thank you, Bill in Allentown, for reminding me it's the Don-demic. Yes, if we're going to make it out of this Trump-tanic mess, we'll need to become a major welfare state and not get hoovered by the Republicans in Congress. Hubert Heaver. Yeah. And of course, Jeffrey, the Renaissance giraffe, resonates his thoughts.
Yes, the goddess of irony is alive and well, because it is so ironic that our new president's middle name is Robinette, because now your new name is Robin and your wife's original name is Annette, and hence we have a Robinette.
Mm-hmm. This has been Joey's Journal for Trumptanic Tuesday, the 12th of January, with 2021, with Giraffe enjoying the Robin Renaissance. Well, that's adorable.
It just is. So thank you very kindly for the Robinette challenge. That will go nicely with something that I just received, a note I just received from Darlene in Connecticut. $100 challenge from Darlene of the sorority of Leans, and in honor of your grandmother. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you so very much. So that means there's $150 on the table waiting to be matched so that Darlene and Giraffe and Joey can match it all and turn it into $300 and get us down to $390 to go, which will mean that if that happens, that we will be fully funded except for $90 of yesterday and then today. Thank you very kindly, Darlene. Thank you so very kindly indeed. And thank you to Jeffrey and to Joey. So can we knock that out fairly quickly? That would be lovely if we could. Kyle pointing out, shit, now that you mention it, a mentally ill Archie Bunker became president. Yeah, in so many ways he did. And Jeremy, with a question, so when Jeffrey finds himself in a bar thinking he's 17 feet tall, does that make him a heady since he can't physically drink a nice heady beer? It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it? Oh, dear. Yeah. And yes, Joey, we got cowbells. Thank you, Billable Rick. Hallmark was about to come. Hallmark, Taft's purchase of the place to bathe. Yeah, those were quality. Yeah, there's a jingle there. That's not a low rent jingle. No. So this being Trump-tanic Tuesday, well, the damnedest thing kind of makes you wonder if we're being played a little bit. If you know what I mean, the New York Times with a story shortly before airtime. The headline story by Jonathan Martin and Maggie, the stenographer, Haberman, noting McConnell is said to be pleased about impeachment, believing it will be easier to purge Trump from the GOP. Now, I know Mitch McConnell is smarter than that. He's an evil genius. An evil amphibian reptilian genius. There's not going to, you might get Trump out, but you're not going to get the maggots out. And just a gentle reminder going all the way back to before the 2016 elections, when Milo Yiannopoulos and Steve Bannon were on a Breitbart radio show. And they pointed out that fully half or more, maybe two-thirds of the GOP base are what we now recognize as maggots. Bigots, racists, fascists, deplorables. Yeah. But this article also points out, or makes clear, I should say, that both Kevin McCarthy over in the House and Mitch McConnell in the Senate are cowards. They're chicken shits. They are gutless wonders because they don't have the courage to, instead of having the courage to simply step up and say, hey, it's time for Donald Trump to go. Mike Pence, get the cabinet together. The man's a nut and he's a danger to the country. Invoke the 25th Amendment, for God's sakes, something like that. Instead of doing that, we get these gossipy articles from the New York Times saying that people familiar with his thinking say that McConnell does, in fact, think that this week past, Donald Trump committed impeachable offenses. It's a hell of a time to break it on chinless Mitch, but Donald Trump's been committing impeachable offenses since his hand came off the Bible on January the 20th, 2017. And Kevin McCarthy, of course, is a huge maggot and has spent the last 4 years with his head so far up Trump's fundament that you can see Kevin's smiling face every time Trump sneezes. But now he's not lobbying to stop the impeachment effort, which is underway in the House and which will be voted on tomorrow. There's none of this arm twisting going on. There's no whipping the majority. No, they're just, well, you know, y'all just, you just need to vote your conscience is what they're saying now. But in light of the fact that there were over 130 maggot members of the House who stood up and aided and abetted and supported an act of insurrection and treason that had taken place previously, well, the best that the Democrats can hope for is to add maybe 12, 14, 15 Republican House members' names. And mirabile dictu, one of those names may be that of Liz Cheney. Yeah, I know. But again, McCarthy is a chicken shit. And neither McCarthy nor McConnell have the nerve to go to the White House as Republicans did during the Nixon era and say, listen, this is not going to end well. You gotta go. Resign now. And what I can't sort for the life of me is the legal angles of this, the legal aspects of this suggest rather profoundly that the president cannot pardon himself. And he has to know what kind of legal liabilities are facing him on a federal basis once he leaves office. And that was before he incited an insurrection against the seat of government. He's got to know what is sitting there in a file in a file folder in the Southern District of New York. You know, the cases in which he is referred to as unindicted co-conspirator individual one. So he needs that federal pardon. There's other stuff coming at him in terms of state actions, primarily in New York State. But he needs the federal pardon. Badly and urgently. And the single best way to get it is to resign and let Pence pardon him. It will be odious. It will be the end of Mike Pence's political career, if past practice is any indication of future, future lack of success. America was really not particularly thrilled with Gerald Ford for pardoning Nixon, but still he got very, very close to winning his own 4-year term. And we were saved from that by Jimmy Carter. But somebody has got to be telling him that he's got to go. Oh, and by the way, precious Princess I-Wank-a-Ma-Daddy Trump Kushner is going to attend, or says she's going to stay in Washington to attend the inauguration. People close to her think that saying so will enhance what she thinks are her bright, or is her bright, political future. Oh, dear God. So it doesn't look like any phone calls are going to be made or any walks are going to be taken by McConnell or McCarthy to the White House to say, Don, it's time to go. And, you know, in a way, I'm okay with that. Because I want that sleazy little gut bucket to be prosecuted within an inch of his life. But right now, I want him impeached. And I want him removed by the Senate. And all you can do is hope in one hand and in the other and see which one fills up first. Yeah. Because it's still a long shot, but the ability to take away from him the ability the right to ever hold a position of public trust or profit or office would be immensely valuable. And the fact that maybe his Secret Service protection could be taken away. Because, among other things, there was a story today all about how a Secret Service officer, agent, has been reprimanded for his behavior during the recent assault on the Capitol. It was shameful. Of course it was. And our best wishes go out to Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal. She, too, has come down with the Rona. She, too, was exposed by maggot members of Congress who refused to wear a mask. And one hopes that she recovers quickly and to no ill effect. In a statement, Representative Jayapal said, "Too many Republicans have refused to take this pandemic and virus seriously, and in so doing, they endanger everyone around them. Only hours after President Trump incited a deadly assault on our Capitol," notice she doesn't say riot, she's figured it out, "our country and our democracy, many Republicans still refuse to take the bare minimum COVID-19 precaution and simply wear a damn mask in a crowded room during a pandemic, creating a super spreader event on top of a domestic terrorist attack." Along the way, she referred to the maggots' selfish idiocy. And the statement that she made Monday night, Ms. Jayapal, the office statement said that the duration in the room was multiple hours, and several Republicans not only cruelly refused to wear a mask, but mocked colleagues and staff who offered them one. And among other things, they provided a video of Delaware Representative Lisa Blunt Rochester pleading with a group of Republicans to put on the masks that she was offering, and who were they? Well, QAnon goonie Marjorie Taylor Greene, Andy Biggs from Arizona, Scott Perry from Pennsylvania, Michael Cloud from Texas, and Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma. Mark Wayne Mullen said to her, Representative Blunt, "I'm not trying to get political here." And when CNN reached out to Marjorie QAnon Greene, her office issued a statement saying, "Congresswoman Greene is a healthy adult. She does not believe healthy Americans should be forced to muzzle themselves with a mask. America needs to reopen and get back to normal. Bioterrorists, I've been saying it for ages, they are bioterrorists." So, it should be interesting tomorrow to at least watch the vote count on the impeachment proceedings. And then will come the big strategic choice of, do we send it to the Senate now or do we send it later? I'm in favor of sending it now. In fact, Joe Biden reached out to Mitch McConnell. Won't be doing a whole lot more of that without withdrawing a bloody stump. But to ask if the parliamentarian could set it up so half the Senate's day would be business and half would be impeachment. And McConnell said, "Well, I don't know. I haven't heard from the parliamentarian." Never mind the fact that that's exactly how impeachment was the trial in the Senate was played last January. Half a day for impeachment, half a day for Senate business. Yeah, well. But there's a bit of cynicism or rather a lot of cynicism in all of this. Mitch McConnell is a lawyer. He knows what's going on. But again, he's a coward, and he's trying to play it to his greatest advantage. And then there's one other aspect of all of this. It turns out that, and this is not surprising because, you know, we've talked about this on the program. They are terrified of the maggots. They've created a monster, and it's on the loose. And now the Republicans understand that they will be seen as betrayers far more so than Democrats. And so today, in a report by Politico, we find the following. There is particular fear among Republicans in Trump-heavy districts who voted against the GOP's doomed bid to overturn the election results. Many came home last week to find constituents, preachers, school superintendents, church-going men and women, cheering on the effort rather than condemning it, according to multiple GOP lawmakers. One unnamed Republican said, "Both parties have extremists. There's a difference in our crazy people and their crazy people. Our crazy people have an excessive amount of arms. They have gun safes. They have grenades. They believe in the Second Amendment. They come here and Trump's made them think this is the Alamo." What makes me think that that unnamed Texas legislator was probably from Texas? Yeah, but he's right. We don't stockpile grenades. We don't stockpile Second Amendment supplies. Now, I think this cat is grievously mistaken if he thinks that there are not gunned up liberals, because I know damned well that there are. And some people have in this community have voiced their support for being gun owning liberals. Because Republicans, because maggots. But I don't buy into that bullshit duality, that false binary of the both sides. You know, both parties have extremists. Well, let's just take a minute, please, and examine that sentence. Both parties have extremists. We know what constitutes an extremist on the right. They'll put on a buffalo fur hat with horns, paint their face red, white, and blue, engage in entering restricted spaces. Thank you, Dave in Kentucky. Commit felonies left and right. Well, mostly right. And then expect to be served an organic diet in prison. And somebody help me out here. I'm going to need a little help from the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department on this one. I've seen repeatedly over the course of the day, and I have not yet been able to chase it down far enough to verify it, there are stories circulating that QAnon shaman Ted Nugent convention cosplay buffalo hat guy who complained about the lack of organic dining in the federal stir, that somehow or another a judge has agreed and ordered that he be provided with organic fare. I wish I was kidding. I still hope I am. So if anybody else has seen this and can point to this being an actual, real, live, no kidding news story, let me know so that I will not feel like I have wasted a hissy, because that just pisses me off. But they're scared. And their extremists are everything we just said. Our extremists, on the other hand, our extremists want people to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. Damned extremists. Our extremists think that everybody, just by virtue of being born in the United States of America, should have access to health care that doesn't cost them anything. At least, you know, not up front. We pay for it in taxes. That's our extremists. Our extremists think that maybe it would be a good thing to not blast and drill the bejesus out of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Our extremists think that maybe it's a good thing to start moving toward renewable energy so that the planet may hopefully continue to sustain human life. That's some that's our extremism. I mean, they don't add up. The two sides of the equation cannot be made to balance. Because when, you know, we still don't have health care for all of America, and nobody's shooting anybody over it. Nor am I suggesting that we should. But damn, I hate both siderism. And that's a big old dose of it. Over at the right-wing rag, the National Review, they're writing, according to a GOP source on conference phone call yesterday, Kevin McCarthy warned members not to verbally attack colleagues who vote for impeachment because it could endanger their lives. And yet they still sit by. God, 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 God. It's going to be a hell of a Trump-tanic Tuesday. Thank you to Samson answering Darlene's challenge. That's tremendous. We now have $50 to go for Joey and Giraffe's challenge. That's most helpful. Thank you so very much, Samson. Like I said, if we can get those two, we'll be down to $390 to go. And well, if we could get to zero this evening, a critical bill will be paid tonight. Oh, dear, dear Bob, says Steve in New York. Assumptions. Trump is a narcissist. Trump is hardwired that losing is completely unacceptable. Trump has a reality in his own mind, which is reality. As a result, Trump cannot conceive that he would lose any prosecution because he never, ever loses, even though he does constantly. In his mind, he's gotten away with everything. Why should anything going forward be any different? Add the fact that he's so unhealthy and obese, he may very well die before any real consequences anyway. And if he lives, he probably thinks that any court would let him out because of how infirm he would be. Well, I mean, if the court will insist upon organic food for QAnon shaman, then, goodness gracious, I'm sure they would order that Trump be daily delivered taco bowls and hamburgers and, you know, several cups of hot steaming covfefe. God. Yeah. Oh, and Randy Radar, Trump will remain until almost his last day in office. Know a British bookie? It's almost a sure bet. Yeah, but you know how it is with those British bookies. They're going to want some specificity, at least a date. How long does it take to pardon a criminal president? Could he resign on the 19th? I mean, how close does he dare play this? Because, among other things, Billable Rick is self-pardoned by Trump and Precious Iwanka. I'm not so sure that a sitting president can't pardon himself. It's an issue of first impression, and the only guidance that exists is an Office of Legal Counsel opinion circa 1976, which says a self-pardon doesn't work. Well, there's other guidance, too, Billable, because in discussing the pardon power during the constitutional ratification debate, there seemed to be consensus on the notion, although they did not include it in the text, there was consensus on the notion that a president could never further his own criminality by pardoning himself. As for, Billable continues, as for Precious Iwanka attending the Biden inauguration, she may do so in order to deter maggots from attacking the proceeding. However, if I were a betting man, Iwanka's presence at the inauguration wouldn't prevent Nitwit Nero from ordering his zeros to stop the inauguration.
In addition, if Ivanka were taken out during the inauguration, it would remove yet another obstacle to Trump running for re-election in 2024. If you doubt what I've just said, just look how Trump threw his good buddy Mike Pence to the marauding maggots on January 6th. Well, yeah, they were trying to behead, because this is how stupid maggots are. They thought that if they could get rid of McConnell, not even McConnell, but get rid of Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence, that Trump would just have to stay president. They erected a gallows, okay? And now the FBI does say that they are setting up a special task force to look into everybody who participated in this. Well, that's not the idea. That's not the special prosecutor, I think, or special counsel that I think is called for in this situation, but it's a step forward. Darlene with a question. Can the 14th Amendment, the COVIDiots in Congress for giving Pramila et al. The virus, like that horrid, nasty green woman, can they censure them? Can they have their new or acting sergeant at arms in each house remove their asses every time they defy the rules come January 21st? They're clearly dangerous. And yes, they can be ejected from the chambers for not masking. And I would say it goes so far as not masking properly. You can't wear it as a chin strap and say you're wearing your mask. You can't be a sub-nose COVIDiot and claim you're wearing your mask. And apparently there are fines involved. And yes, censure is possible. Ethics violations are possible. And remember, the Ethics Committee is supposed to be bipartisan, so that could be interesting. And apparently, yeah. Flavio found the article. As did Steve in New York. According to Newsweek, QAnon shaman, Ted Nugent cosplay convention boy, will be fed an organic diet following the judge's order. In a country, Flavio notes, in a country where cops take a mass murderer to Burger King post-mass murdering, what did you expect? Yeah, that's the cops. This is a federal judge. Jesus. Now, you have to honor religious dietary requirements as a function of the First Amendment. There's no First Amendment right to eat organic, cruelty-free, vegan yuck burgers. It's not. Sheesh. Matt in San Francisco with a note. McConnell. It's not a stretch to guess what Mitch is thinking. As usual, he's thinking long term. If he can delay impeachment until the 19th, he then kicks it over to a Democratic Senate. Then Mitch can create the subtle narrative that the Dems are overly political and are out for vengeance, attacking conservatives, etc., etc., etc. This way, he holds on to Trump's base, which he knows he needs in order to come to the party. He can also hold on to the regular Republicans because he can say it wasn't him that put everything in motion. As far as I'm concerned, Matt, it says, he needs to be expelled with the rest of them. And that's going to be the next thing. Will there be any petition? Will there be any bills of expulsion introduced? And that will be hell among the yearlings. Randy Radar says, had our extremists gotten into the Capitol, we wouldn't have trashed the place. More likely, we would have staged a sit-in. Yeah, that's what we do. Or a die-in, you know. But the key to all of that is that you don't break the windows out or tear down the doors to get in and do that. But then again, considering the way law enforcement has been in the age of Trump, can you imagine the mayhem that that would have caused? God almighty. Because just look back to the summer and how peaceful protesters were treated
as compared with the fact that, you know, the Proud Boys engaged in crimes in broad daylight, and, you know, one of them, Enrique Tarrio, has been charged. Right. Thank you to John. Thank you, John, very kindly for jumping in. That means we got $40 to go on Joey and Giraffe's Robinette Challenge. Thank you, John. And by the way, we've had a little bit added to the, we've had something added to the challenge. Ralph's jumped in and said, I'll contribute $20 if others contribute 20. So there's actually 60 in challenges remaining, which would go a long way toward, let's see, that's $60. That would get us actually into this evening's fundraising, which would be fantastic. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you. And thank you, John. Jack in Shreveport, horned hat guy. Yeah, they're saying this guy is a shaman? I know. There's too many letters there. One too many, in fact. The A and the N need to go away, and the A simply needs to be replaced with another vowel, please. He's a shame. He is a national disgrace. And at least one member of Maggot Nation has some sense of shame, because down in Georgia, one of the people who was arrested for participating in the assault on the Capitol had the common decency to kill themselves. Yeah. Apparently the shame was too overwhelming, which means that the quantum of shame inside Maggot Nation has probably been entirely consumed. Sheesh. Well, apparently, family member leaves cult. Kyle says, well, apparently there is a line for some maggots. My mother, who has supported this orange piece of shit all the way, has now called for the removal, arrest, prosecution, and jailing for life of Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, for treason and sedition after the coup attempt, after his remarks at the border today about be careful what you wish for, and says she's never voting Republican again. If you don't hear from me again, Kyle notes, it's because I died from shock. Well, congrats to Mom. Give her a big hug, Kyle. Tell her you're proud of her. Thank her, even. She has seen the light. Hallelujah. You know, it's that whole business about the shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to go and find the one lost one. When the one lost one comes wandering home, you don't tell it what a bad sheep it's been. You welcome it back into the flock. So, you know, that's what it looks to be from where I am. But yeah, Albert asked, do you really think that Pence will pardon Trump? Maggots were screaming that they wanted to hang Pence the other day. Yes. Yes, I do think he will. Because he still thinks he has some sort of a political career, among other things. And the other part of it is that when you are in, and you know, you can ask any counseling psychotherapist, any psychologist, whatever. People who are in abusive relationships often come back for more. Way back in the 90s, I read a statistic that said women who were domestically abused, on average, had it happen to them 6 times before they either left or were killed. And Mike Pencilneck Geek is in exactly that position. How many times have we been told, including by his brother, that he views Trump like a daddy? And you will come back to daddy. Last night, Parson Brown mentioned the piece that Arnold Schwarzenegger put up, in which... And it was sad. It was touching. It was a horrifying reminder. He talked about being a little kid growing up in Austria, born in 1947. And he said, my father would get drunk 2 or 3 times a week and come home and beat my mother and me. And he said, I didn't hold it against my father because because my neighbor's fathers were doing the same thing to their family in the aftermath of the trauma brought on by their participation in the Wehrmacht in World War II. Here we are. So, yeah, Trump will pardon him. And tell him it's okay if he wants to hit him again while he's at it. Because we are talking about the depths of a domestic abuse sort of situation. And along the way, we get conflicting accounts of what exactly Trump is and isn't saying. Kevin McCarthy told members of the Republican caucus in the House that, well, Trump was partially responsible, and he knows he's partially responsible, and he's feeling. And then that story no sooner got out than, lo and behold, he's down at the border today, Nitwit Nero is, where he... After, as Flavio says, it didn't take but one day after the assault on the Capitol on Wednesday, maggot legislators at the Wisconsin Capitol were comparing it to the protests against Walker's Act 10, which stripped public workers of collective bargaining rights, except for the cop unions, of course. Divide et impera. But yeah, Trump was at the border today saying, no, it wasn't my fault at all. I didn't do anything. Nothing's ever my fault. Good God, don't you remember?
I don't take responsibility for anything.
He said that, and 400,000 people died. It's going to be this all the way to the end. And then there's that godforsaken, stupid, idiot, Susan Collins, who, no kidding, at the moment she first saw hordes of Trump flag waving, maggot hat wearing maniacs pouring into the into the Capitol. You know what Susan Collins thought? Holy shit! Her first thought was, it must be the Iranians. My God, that'll send you straight out in the yard eating dirt and running rabbits. And it's the dead of winter here, and I gotta tell you, the rabbits are hard to find. But yeah, Iranians. It's like the beginning of my favorite 70s comedy, The In-Laws. The Treasury dudes with their armored truck are being hijacked, and Scatman Crothers hollers, God damn it, Arabs! And it wasn't, of course. You know the movie, I trust, but... That's Susan. Look at all
those Iranians wearing their Donald Trump hats. They're crafty, those Iranians.
Whew. It just. And then he got down to even going so far as to issue a veiled threat, as Jeremy refers to it. As to the 25th Amendment, when he was down in Texas today, he started out by saying,
the 25th Amendment is of zero risk to me, but we will come back to haunt Joe Biden and the Biden administration, as the expression goes, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. And, you know, he's still out of his mind.
Before we begin, I'd like to say that free speech is under assault like never before. The impeachment hoax is a continuation of the greatest and most vicious witch hunt, is causing tremendous anger and division and pain far greater than what most people will ever understand, which is very dangerous for the USA, especially at this very tender time.
Aw, he's talking about his tender fee-fees. Poor baby.
As I have consistently said throughout my administration, we believe in respecting America's history and traditions, not tearing them down. We believe in the rule of law, not in violence or rioting, because of the pandemic, horrible, horrible, invisible enemy.
And then, you know.
Of course, nothing was my fault.
Oh, and by the way, you know, that the veto went through on the Defense Authorization Act, and that means that military bases formerly named for traitors will be changed. But you know what? We don't necessarily have to. We can just add a word in. Maybe the maggots could be mollified that way. How about Fort Traitor Bragg or Fort Traitor Hood? Hmm? Yeah? Yeah? See? It could happen. And I mentioned Liz Cheney a moment ago. Yamiche Alcindor tweeted earlier, and thank you, David, in South Carolina, Stan. Liz Cheney says she's going to vote to impeach. There has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. The president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Well, she has never been a darling of the maggots, because she has spoken out periodically, you know, once in a great while. And so it will be curious to see how many people she can bring with her. Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, I'm sure, will vote to impeach. But will any of the maggot leadership of the GOP caucus? Probably not. That's the thing about treason. Once you commit it, it sticks to you like glue, and they and traitors tend to stick to their treason direct proportion. There will be floor debate. And I'm sure there will, you know, the leaders have the right to manage who speaks. And I'll be curious to see if Kevin McCarthy lets any Mo Brookses or Louis Asparagus Gohmerts stand up and utter some more treason. I don't know. Steve in New York says, impeachment trial and expulsion of senators and members of Congress. I think Matt in San Francisco is almost there. I don't think this is out of the realm of possibility. No matter who is in the majority, Mitch can claim he must have a trial. They have a trial. The entire GOP caucus can boycott the trial by not showing up. That leaves only the Democrats and maybe a couple of pro-conviction Republicans present. The two-thirds requirement for conviction would be limited to those present, way less than the 67 out of 100 required. As far as the expulsion, no bill of expulsion is in my scenario necessary. When the House impeaches him, I would argue that it is a finding that it was an insurrection, and those 135-plus members who supported this BS supported the insurrection. Then bring in the 14th Amendment, Section 3. And its tormented verbiage. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid and comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of two-thirds of each House, remove such disability. Steve concludes, given that supporting insurrection forbids serving in Congress, Pelosi et al. Should take away floor privileges, voting privileges, franking privileges, etc. If any of them come onto the floor of the House, the chair orders the sergeant-at-arms to escort them out. They can appeal to the House to have their disability removed, but the default is that they may not serve. But it still requires an act of expulsion, Steve. Because it's a back reference, I would argue, to the expulsion clause contained elsewhere in Article 1, I think. Yeah. And goodness forbid if you should ever protest in the U.S. Capitol, Darlene says, for health care as a disabled person in a wheelchair. I figured it'd be awfully difficult for the Capitol Police to physically throw 600 pounds of wheelchair and disabled person sitting in it out the door. Boy, was I disabused of that per an article I read today. The Capitol Police will just yank your disabled ass out of the chair and throw you to the ground and drag you out. Not sure what happens to the chair. Shit. And doesn't Chief Sund sound a bit whiny? I'm not impressed with his excuses. Excuse me? Mike Pence in an abusive relationship with Trump? Okay, but we're all in the position of an abused spouse with Trump. Well, yes. And as I'm sure that Agnes can attest due to her work in the domestic violence field, it's well known that when a battered spouse or intimate partner tries to get away, like we're trying to do with Trump, that is the period when things become the most deadly and dangerous for the victim. That's where we are right now, by analogy. We are all abused and battered. We are victims and even to a certain degree the dumbass maggots that are susceptible to the brainwashing and scapegoating are as well. Well, I think you're absolutely right, Darlene. This is the perilous time. That is why he's got to go. If you leave him alone, he doesn't behave. If you take constitutional remedies, this is obligatory Star Trek reference, and I think you know where I'm going. This is Kobayashi Maru time. This is a no-win situation. And there's no young cadet Jim Kirk to fudge the computer simulation. It's going to be a little nerve-wracking. And if, as the FBI has pointed out, there are going to be assaults in every state capital, armed insurrection in every state capital, then between now and a week from tomorrow, the usual cautions for having to be out in the midst of a pandemic double down. Because it can be crazy anywhere. I even saw some statement earlier today saying, oh my God, this is hockey puck stuff. If you are invited to come to an armed open carry rally at a state capitol, please don't go, because it's a false flag to take our guns away. Oh, the tortured reasoning. We had 8 years of Obama's going to get our guns. And before that, there was 8 years of Clinton's going to get our guns. And nobody's guns got gotten. Fuck's sake. But here we are. Here we are. Thank you very kindly to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus. We are drawing down on the $60 in challenges we have remaining. Thank you very kindly. So that $45 remaining in those two challenges from Ralphs and from Joey and Giraffe. I guess we could say that there's 25 remaining on Joey and Giraffe's Robinette challenge and $20 remaining on Ralph's challenge. So thank you very kindly for getting us that far along. It's terribly, terribly important. Thank you indeed. We have crossed into the second hour of the program. Charlie Pierce, who is consistently brilliant, has said Trump's going to be impeached with daylight to spare. I think they're going to convict the guy, too, maybe a half hour before Biden gets sworn in.
And Liz Cheney is still the spawn of Satan. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes awful people do good things. Or as we say around here, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. And Liz Cheney may have just found one. And I guess there's some, if he is convicted in the Senate, is that some sort of an asterisk that he was convicted, impeached and convicted with only hours left in his in his term of office? It not for me. Impeached is impeached, and more importantly, the after effects of having been impeached and removed are what's important. You know, the never hold public office or profit again. Second obligatory Star Trek reference coming from Randy Radar. Trump is a tin-plated dictator with delusions of godhood. I'd say so. I would say so. And some domestic violence insight from Megan. Having worked at a DV shelter for a year and having a grandmother and mother who are both victims of DV, you know what the problem is? Anyone who was raised in an environment of abuse now has that imprint of that being normal. So it's not surprising when someone gets a spouse who acts a lot like an abusive family member, for example. Until you understand that what's comfortable for you isn't what's healthy for you, you have no hope of changing that pattern. What's Mike Pence been raised in to make what Trump's doing to him normal? Pence's father. In these households where evangelical religion holds sway, it can be brutally abusive. And then, that imprint of normalcy. It's always been this way. It's always going to be this way. Thanks, Megan. Thanks. Lee in New York pointing out, Liz Cheney is not choosing for us. She is choosing the best path to her own power. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dick in a bad wig. Mm-hmm. Albert from Rhode Island saying, each governor needs to have National Guard troops ready to confront those fools. They should also be given shoot-to-kill orders. They might run away if they're just confronted with a nice hail of tear gas and rubber bullets. But does that... I was arguing during the Black Lives Matter protests of the summer that it is chemical warfare to use tear gas upon one's own citizens. And I feel a certain challenge to my attitudes now. Do we just abandon that because now it's white Republicans who need to be on the receiving end? It's kind of like what I observed about cash bail last night. Cash bail either is or is not wrong. And tear-gassing American citizens either is or is not wrong. And when we talk about domestic violence, let's remember who raised Donald Trump, too. Fred Trump was no nice guy. In fact, he was brutal to his children, according to Mary Trump. Nitwit Nero's niece. He made them as mean as they are. Mary Trump holds her uncle and her grandfather responsible for tormenting her father, Fred Trump Jr., into a life of substance abuse and depression that resulted in his early demise. So we need to take that into account.
Robin, stop telling us that the maggot snowflake inmates can't have special diets since they're special. It's time to powder their butts now.
Well, there went dinner in the Central Standard Time Zone. Powdered maggot butt. That's just ugly. But you know what? It has been a long time, and sometimes I get going and I forget to run it and everything, but I do enjoy what Brad and Desi bring to the conversation. So let's check in and see what's going on with the Green News Report, shall we? Do let's. And in the meantime, $25 to finish off Joey and Giraffe's Robinette Challenge, and $20 to finish off Ralph's. And that'll, let's see, that'll amount to a total of $340 out of a $690 goal, or $680 goal. So, see, that'd almost get us down to fully funded for yesterday. Okay? See what Brad and Desi got.
It's Tuesday, January 12, 2021.
Last year was the hottest year globally on record, tying with 2016. And that wasn't the only climate record that was broken.
The world just keeps getting warmer. But 2020 also shattered the record for billion-dollar weather disasters in the U.S. Plus, fossil fuel industry shutting revolving door on Trump energy staffers.
They're too toxic even for the fossil fuel industry. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's very nice down in Georgia. People go back to Georgia all the time. In fact, they're kind of known for it. The devil moved back to Savannah so he could vote for Biden. I mean, he's the Prince of Darkness, but he's very concerned about global warming.
Well, that makes sense. This is your Green News Report.
If the Earth's already on fire, hell's not going to be that impressive.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, I know it was one of the hottest years on record yet again, but before we get there, a disturbing story. The MAGA mob finds its way to the most upsetting places.
Yes, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Florida is investigating a video that was first reported by the Citrus County Chronicle that shows a manatee with the word Trump scraped into the animal's back. Jeez. Now, officials say that the manatee appears to be unharmed, that the word was scraped into an algae coating on the animal, not its skin. But since manatees are protected endangered species, harassing them is punishable by prison and steep fines.
Good. Hope they catch him. Making manatees great again?
Ugh. Now on to the big news. 2020 tied with 2016 for the hottest year ever recorded globally since record-keeping began in the 1880s. That's according to Copernicus, the European Union's climate monitoring service. NASA and NOAA are expected to release similar results in coming weeks. In another signal of the increasing impact of man-made climate change on the planet, 2020's record heat triggered extreme weather events around the world, with alarming heat waves that fueled record deadly wildfires in Australia, Siberia, and the western U.S. And it fueled the historic 2020 Atlantic hurricane season. And remember when parts of the Arctic topped 100 degrees Fahrenheit?
Yes.
The fact that 2020 tied with 2016 for the hottest year on record is especially remarkable, according to CBS meteorologist Jeff Berardelli.
We had a La Nina, which is a cool episode in the Pacific. In 2016, it was a super El Nino, so we would expect a heat record in 2016. We would not expect a heat record in 2020. Gives you an idea of just how quickly things are warming because of human-caused climate change.
Berardelli also notes,
the Paris Agreement wants us to stay below 1.5 degrees Celsius. This year we're at 1.25 Celsius, so we're getting really close.
So, in other words, the Paris Agreement is supposed to keep us from rising more than 1.5 degrees above industrial times, and we are almost there already.
Yes.
That's not good.
No. And climate change disasters are costing the United States a lot right now. In 2020, the U.S. shattered its previous record for extreme weather disasters, costing at least $1 billion in damage each, according to NOAA. The prior record was $16 billion disasters in a year. Last year, we had 22.
Wow.
The costly damages included widespread wildfires in the West, multiple hurricanes in quick succession, including 4 in a row, for beleaguered Louisiana, extreme heat waves, and the destructive Midwest derecho. Altogether, 2020's extreme weather disasters killed 261 people and caused nearly $100 billion in damages in a single year.
Wow.
NOAA said the new record shows the trend of growing disasters that, since 1980, have cost the United States more than $2 trillion in damages.
Good thing we didn't do anything about it. It was too expensive.
Globally, 2020's heat record brought storms, fires, and floods that killed more than 8,000 people around the world and caused more than $210 billion in losses. That's according to a new report by global insurance giant Munich Re. In Washington, the Trump Environmental Protection Agency on Monday finalized a rule setting the first ever greenhouse gas emission standards for aircraft engines. Yes, it is one of the few examples of the Trump administration acting to regulate greenhouse gases, but surprise, the environmental groups say the rule is so weak as to be virtually meaningless because it requires no action from the industry and provides no emissions reductions. Finally, some Schadenfreude news. Politico reports that Trump's incitement of last week's deadly siege on the U.S. Capitol by his supporters has reportedly succeeded in tarnishing the resumes of administration energy staffers who had been hoping to use their government experience to win lucrative jobs in the fossil fuel industry. But that revolving door may be slamming shut. One anonymous executive at an oil and gas company told Politico, quote, "We're not going to hire any Trump people. We're just not going to do it."
The Trump stink is even too smelly for the fossil fuel industry. Well done, Trump. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, that may be one of the all-time best bumpers that Brad and Desi have ever run. That smell, Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's just fantastic is what that is. I'm glad I ran that. And just by way of taking an ever so brief break from the misery and the madness and the swampiness, a quick science-y story, because God knows I love these, and we need the breaks when we can get them. Agnes sent me this story earlier today. Oh, and by the way, this is conversation radio, you know, and you don't have to just sit there. You can engage in conversation on the program if you'd like. The stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, email rolls in via the interface at headon.live, as well as bobkincaid@gmail.com. And then there's Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, and the associated phone number that goes with that, 304-574-8178. All of which will get you right into the conversation. But you see a story like this, and you just have to stop and read. NASA recently extended the life of two of its planetary discovery missions, including the Juno mission to Jupiter. And NASA has revealed that Juno has found, wait for it, this'll, if he's up and about already, this will send Scott and San Diego into paroxysms. The Juno Planetary Explorer spacecraft has discovered FM radio signals coming from the Jovian moon Ganymede. Yeah, really. Just makes me think maybe there's some pimply-faced little teenage Ganymedian playing the Happy Goodman family on, or the Ganymede equivalent of them, somewhere on that moon. Yeah. Or maybe 97.7 Ganymede Radio.
cool jazz for a cold part of the solar system.
Right. It's fascinating. NASA being quick to point out, now, it's not an indication of extraterrestrial life.
That's just what they want you to believe.
Mm-hmm. But it's not E.T., according to Patrick Wiggins, one of the NASA ambassadors to Utah. I didn't realize that you had to be an ambassador, that Utah had ambassadors. It says it's more of a natural function. Well, sure it is. Mm-hmm. How does that explain the spacecraft flying by and picking up, if I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? Because, see, you need the live version of Freebird when you just got to go to the bathroom. Or Stairway to Heaven.
Right. Yeah.
FM. No static at all.
No singing. No singing. We're trying to get some fundraising taken care of. And we just did. Thank you very kindly to Charlene and Rogues Island. And we are now down to $5 to go on Joey and Giraffe's Robinette Challenge and $20 to go on Ralph's. So that'll get us down to $3.40 if we can bring in that last $25. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very kindly. A founding member of the Sorority of Leans. Yes, thank you. Right. Obligatory pun from Lee. FM signals from Jupiter. Rock music. Well, from Ganymede, sure. And it's a rocky place. Rocket 97.7, Ganymede's hottest. Yeah. Ralph said, what the fuck, radio signals from Ganymede? Oh, we get all over the place on this program. But in all fairness, apparently scientists have known about the radio signals coming from Jupiter since around the mid-1950s. But they've never before heard it coming from Ganymede. Well, somebody's apparently expanding into the Jovian moons. Reckon it's Rupert Murdoch? I know who it isn't. I damn sure know who it isn't. It's not Sheldon Adelson. Yes. Because Sheldon Adelson, the guy who once supported a political candidate who suggested that the best form of birth control would be for women to put an aspirin between their knees. Well, Sheldon Adelson, if you buy into this sort of metaphysics, found himself standing in the anteroom of a place that where the HVAC didn't seem to be working. Mighty hot down here, said Shell. There's a reason for that, said the guy in the asbestos union suit with the pitchforks and the hork and the cloven hooves and the tail. Horns and pitchfork. Jesus. Wait a minute, what am I doing in hell? Well, Shelley, you earned it. Sheldon, do you like pineapple? We got a lot of pineapple down here. Why you got pineapple? Oh, you'll find out, Sheldon. You'll find out. For the rest of eternity, you scumbag. Oh, and by the way, Darlene earlier got a big kick out of my use of the term for nitwit Nero. To wit, gut bucket. Did you call Trump a gut bucket? That's freaking hilarious, LOL. Yes, I did. He did. Yeah, gut bucket, shit weasel, right? So much unfairness in life. Right. By the way, Dave in the Blind said, I'm so sad right now. My little brother's drunk the Kool-Aid and is beyond redemption in my eyes. He's spouting some sovereign citizens bullshit to try and expiate himself from the actions of his fellow maggots. I don't know what to do, and frankly, I'm so sick of this. I know I'm not the only one going through this. It's not a pity party. It's a fight like hell situation. In general, my brother's a good man. Somebody let him he's looking for a church, probably one of the things that God will be coming any minute types, and he wants to find him a good maggot woman to say yes, dear, to everything that he believes. You know, believing, believe, the most dangerous word in the English language. Not a praying man, Dave says, but any thoughts that you have or the community congregation has, I'm willing to listen to. There's wisdom in this group. Your buddy Dave and the blind. Ah, Dave, I'm so sorry. That's... what needs to happen? What needs to happen is if you can snap, if you can break into it early, you need a family-wide intervention. It can't just be you, Dave, or it's not going to work. I fear I'm correct in that regard. Thank you, Christopher. We are now done with Joey and Giraffe's challenge. And we have started $5 into Ralph's. So thank you, Christopher. And wait, hey, that's awesome. We are done with Ralph's challenge. Thank you, Barbara. And that gets us to $330 to finish the evening and come up even with these first 2 days of the new week. So thank you, Barbara. Thank you so very much for helping to keep independent, progressive, commercial-free radio going. I had no idea, but it makes sense. That would be a booger. Randy Radar points out, Lynyrd Skynyrd was once a Wheel of Fortune puzzle. Can I buy a vowel? Yeah, who looks at that and comes up with the Y right off the bat? No. Y is a vowel, isn't it? I mean, on Wheel of Fortune, it qualifies as a vowel. When I was a little kid learning my grammar, it was always A-E-I-O-U and sometimes Y. Sometimes. When is it not one? Well, maybe, okay, yellow. It's not a vowel in yellow. Or Yahoo. Or yuck. Or yins. Right. Okay, that makes some sense. And Jack sent a note. State capitals, Louisiana. From yesterday's Monroe News Star, Monroe is a town east of me. State police on alert as Trump demonstration planned at Louisiana Capitol Sunday. Louisiana state police and other law enforcement personnel are on alert for a planned demonstration supporting President Donald Trump at the state capitol Sunday in the aftermath of last week's deadly riot at the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Varying numbers of Trump supporters have been gathering at the Louisiana Capitol in Baton Rouge for weeks, usually on Saturdays, but all demonstrations there thus far have been peaceful. Louisiana State Police is aware of the planned protests at the state capitol and is working closely with our federal, state, and local law enforcement partners to coordinate security protocols. In coordination with Capitol staff and the Department of Public Safety Police, the state police will have personnel in place to ensure a safe environment and to protect the rights of our citizens to hold a peaceful gathering. Oh, for sake. They're still worrying about providing a peaceful protest experience for protesters who aren't peaceful. Louisiana House Chief Sergeant at Arms Clarence Smoke Russ. Really? Call him Smoke. Old Smokey said, Smokey, front and center. Old Smokey said, we don't discuss specific protocols, but if there is a need for extreme precautions, they will be in place. Multiple events up to now have been peaceful, and I'm expecting the same thing Sunday. Jack points out that last sentence seems worrisome to me and not very confidence-building. Both houses of the state legislature are controlled by Republicans, so I would assume the sergeant-at-arms is going to be leaning toward the maggot side. And I think you're probably right, very much so. Oh, merciful heavens. It's going to be right interesting for the next week or so. And again, wherever you are, watch your back and do stay safe. Oh, and Arnold, going back to the issue of how we handle insurrection, I'm of the opinion that these people do not realize that the genie cannot be put back in the bottle without systemic social change, immediate and radical in nature. People need to be paid. People need to be wrapped in the nurturing effects of actually having health care. We could put the genie back in the bottle, but we need both sides to stop arguing about who's right and who's wrong and actually affect change for the greater populace. But we kill black people for a busted taillight or stealing a Snickers. So true. True, Arnold. Just true. And, Jesus Christ. The nine Solons. Well, it wasn't the nine Solons. It was six of them. New York Times says, breaking news, the Supreme Court reinstated an abortion pill restriction that requires women to pick up in-person medications used to end pregnancies. It was a brief order. It was unsigned. But, it was unexplained, unsigned, with nothing more than a little statement by old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, who will never actually have to worry about an unwanted pregnancy, saying that their decision deferred to the view of experts. That's horseshit. And just to stay with the topic for a moment, remember when we thought that Mike DeWine was kind of this reasonable Republican, some people bought into it at least? And that, you know, he was a good kind of Republican governor. Let's check in with Ohio. In a pandemic, and it sort of dovetails with the story out of the Supreme Court, in a pandemic, why would you make a woman pick up anything in person when it could be shipped? Or it could be delivered? Well, this past weekend, Mike DeWine signed Senate Bill 260 into law in Ohio. And that odious piece of crap bans telehealth for medication abortion. In other words, the abortion pill. And the whole thing is just, it flies in the face of good medical practices. By banning telemedicine and prescribing medication abortions, and that means patients have to still travel further to access reproductive health care, subjecting themselves to the risk of a pandemic, and both providers and patients alike are further exposed to potential harm. And meanwhile, well, Governor DeWine in Ohio, as you may have noticed from Joey's Journal, I think, and a couple of other folks, is not exactly doing a bang-up job at getting vaccines into arms. Over at Planned Parenthood Advocates of Ohio and Planned Parenthood of Greater Ohio, Iris E. Harvey, the president and CEO, said, "Yet again, Ohio's lawmakers and our governor have used the lame duck legislative session to enact laws that attack abortion services in our state. The gerrymandered Republican majority in this state has one agenda: to put more roadblocks, whether they be in the form of additional cost, additional travel, or additional time, in front of those who have made a deeply personal decision and want to exercise their right to control their bodies. We all should have that right without the interference of politicians." And Kersha Deibel is president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Southwest Ohio. And she said, "Senate Bill 260 is just further proof that politicians in Ohio will stop at nothing to strip health care access from the people in this state. People in Ohio already face major hurdles when accessing reproductive health care, especially safe, legal abortion. The legislature should focus their attention on promoting laws that strengthen the health and rights of Ohioans and their families, especially in the middle of a pandemic, rather than stigmatizing and shaming people for their private medical decisions." But they're Republicans. They can't help it. If if Mike DeWine had signed an order saying that because of the pandemic, the gun stores needed to be closed for a little bit, by God, they'd be in the streets and blood would be in their eyes. But as long as we're just shitting on human beings in the midst of one of the hardest decisions a human being can ever face, yeah, well, sure, why not? And I'll just mention that I have always been a supporter of Planned Parenthood and what it does to provide badly needed services to people all across this country. And like that old Hair Club for Men ad, I'm not only the president of Hair Club for Men, I'm a client. Well, I not only respect Planned Parenthood and always have, I'm a patient. And so, you know, we know what the maggots are. We know who they are, and we're not surprised. And no, Mike DeWine was never a reasonable or a moderate Republican. He's a goddamn filthy fetus fetishist just like the rest of them. But Planned Parenthood has a five-pronged list of priorities for the Biden-Harris administration. One, end unnecessary restrictions on abortion and birth control. Two, issue a budget that calls to end the Hyde and Helms amendments. Amen. Three, passing additional COVID-19 relief that prioritizes women and families while protecting safety net providers like Planned Parenthood. Appointing health care champions to the cabinet, federal agencies, and the courts. And five, prohibiting states from blocking access to care at Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers. Yeah, why not? What's that, Alabama? You want to shit all over Planned Parenthood? Good, we'll just hold back your fucking highway money, assholes. Try to pave an interstate without some federal dollars. Y'all just do that. Y'all come on back now, you hear? They do not stop until they are stopped. Oh, dear God, that's a good one. Lee in New York, MAGA, making abortion gone again. Well, pretty much. Let's see here. God, guns, being anti-gay and being pro-life doesn't put on the put food on the table, says Randy Radar. Well, it does for some people, members of the multi-billion-dollar anti-abortion industry, the multi-billion-dollar religion industry, the multi-billion-dollar gun industry, and the multi-billion-dollar anti-gay, anti-trans industry. Oh, that's a good dollar, Randy. That's a good dollar. I wish I was joking. Well, let's run over to the stress line and see who we can conversate with. Hey, welcome to the program.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hello. Oh, this is Gary.
Yeah, what's up, Gary?
I ran across an article a couple of hours ago. I can't seem to find it, but I just seen one here, not important or whatever. Bruce Willis asked to leave store for refusing to wear a mask. They threw him out.
Good.
He got thrown out of a drugstore this weekend for refusing to, and he was wearing like a handkerchief, scarf chief, whatever you want to call it, you know, cowboy.
Yeah, bandana.
Bandana, whatever. He had it around his neck, and And they asked him to cover his face and mouth, and he refused, and they walked out. And I guess a couple other people in the store said something to him also, wear your mask. They said, well, we don't think it's political because they had filmed them, the paparazzis, had filmed them throughout the summer, and he and whoever he was were always wearing masks when they were out in public. So they didn't know if this particular was supposedly a political statement or not, or just he didn't have it on or whatever. But
he is a right winger though, Gary. Last I heard.
Oh yeah, I know that. I know that. That's why I brought it up. But anyway, let me just try to describe the article I wanted to talk about, and I just can't recall who published it. But essentially, it was a go over of the, you know, who did what when and who said what when over the issues of, you know, the security failures, you know, leading up to Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a paragraph in there that I wanted to focus on, because essentially what it was saying was, and this, there, either this is coming from some guy over at the Pentagon or somebody with the FBI, or I wasn't sure, you know. I'm not sure right now, you know. I mean, it mentioned it in the article. In other words, well, even though they had this dire report of this raw intel coming out of Norfolk, Virginia. Okay, now, I don't know if you are aware of that.
I am.
There's some criticism over, it's like, okay, you know, you had intel. It wasn't an intel failure. You know, it was a failure to act on the intel. You know, nobody acted. Okay. So this guy was saying, well, you know, of course, you know, these were all Trump supporters, and we didn't deem a severe a security threat like we did in the summer.
Which tells you a bundle about their inherent biases.
Well, no, their inherent racism. In other words, it's those N-word folks, you know what I mean? We're scared of them, you know, but we're not as scared of the white guys in the maggots, right?
Right, because they're
isn't
us.
Is that what he's saying?
It's exactly what he's saying. I mean, we ain't got nothing to worry about from them. They white.
I was shocked to read that. I really was. I would like to find that article, specific article, and send it to you in a link, you know, because I was just shocked to read that language. I mean, it was such a, you know, you talk about, you know, how we always use the term, you know, those right wingers, they've got these dog whistles. There's these old code words, you know, going all the way back to what's his fuck, that asshole who got helped get Reagan elected, the Louisiana boy who croaked. He was the wordsmith for them.
No, you're not talking about Lee Atwater, are you?
Exactly.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Know, going back that far, you know what I mean? All of the. You know, getting real slick with language, you know what I mean? But, you know, when I read that, I went, holy shit. You know what I mean? We ain't, you know, because it's like he's saying in that one statement, that one or two sentences, you know, we ain't worried about these folks. These are white people.
Yeah, these are our kind of folks.
You know? But we don't worry about. You know, I mean, they put a cordon around the fucking statue of Lincoln. You know what I mean? You know, because I guess what were they? They had a spot to protest. That one protest, what I don't know what specific date it was, but in the, sometime in the summer. You know, I know there was a number of protests that occurred in D.C. or, you know, in the adjacent areas of, you know, Capitol, White House, what have you. And, you know, they showed all in guardsmen all over the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, right? And so that's why I was wondering, well, you know, I mean, we're worried about the optics here because it's the Capitol building and it's in session and there's lots of people in there.
No, you know what optics they were worried
about? I mean?
Yeah, but Gary, you know what optics they were worried about? They were worried about the optics of law enforcement performing law enforcement duties against white people carrying Trump signs and flying Trump flags and wearing Trump hats.
Exactly.
That's what the optics they were worried about was.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but that statement right there for this given individual who made it, you know, I mean, it just punched me in the face. You know what I mean? I couldn't believe, you know, what I read, you know, in that one thing. But I'll dig around. It was in the main scroll. You know what I mean by the main scroll on my MSN page? You know, you've got the thing you can scroll through across and it was up in, that article was up in there and I read it. It was a few hours ago. It was earlier today. And
in some ways, Gary, this is kind of like a flashback. And I know other people have experienced similar things in that, you know, there was a warning and it was not heeded. And it reminds me of, you know, 20 years ago when the FBI field offices in Minnesota and Arizona were saying, hey, why do we have all these guys wanting to learn how to fly planes but not wanting to learn how to land them? Could that be a clue? And, you know, nothing.
Yeah, well. You know, I'll find that article. It'll be down lower in, you know, on the news page, you know, may take a while to run across that, but it had something to do with the warning out of Norfolk or not the warning, but the, you know, they passed on some, you know, an intel report to, you know, I guess the boys in D.C., that's what they do. You know, the main office or maybe not HQ, but at least a D.C. field office.
Well, the other thing that this thing brings to light and is a major cause of concern is the question, I mean, now that we know, you got Capitol police officers suspended and being investigated and disciplined for their shameful behavior. You got a couple of Secret Service types, one of which put on a maggot hat and photographed himself and was squiring people around into the Capitol. And it brings to the forefront our concerns that we've been voicing for years about the degree to which our institutions of military and law enforcement have already been subverted and already been infiltrated by these disloyal treasonists, you know, your 3%ers, your oath keepers, and various forms of, the Nazis, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, white nationalists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, no matter what, regardless of whether it's military, civilian, you know, law enforcement, whether it's FBI, Secret Service, or, you know, you're going to have a general percentage within those kinds of organizations of people who have Democratic leanings and vote Democratic, people who have Republican leanings and vote Republican. And then you're going to have, you know, some fucking nutcases. But I think they mostly do come from the right. I think you're correct with that. And I think there's been a, a more or less effort, okay, to try to infiltrate, as you say. You used the term. So you had some cops definitely trying to, I mean, the only person on last Wednesday, the only person who did his duty, the only cop who did his duty, the only one, there was only one. You know who that cop was?
Who?
The cop who shot the girl.
Well,
I'm the only one who did his duty.
Well, I'm pretty fond of the Capitol officer who led a bunch of racist maggots on a merry chase, pulling them away from.
I don't know if he was armed or not, but if he was, because
all he had was a walkie-talkie and a baton.
Yeah. Okay. So he wasn't armed. Okay. So he was performing his duty to the best of his ability at the time. So don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying here is, you know, the famous photo, which is infamous to me, okay, the photo at the House chamber doors, you know, where they got some kind of piece of furniture up there.
Yeah.
And you got four civilian dressed people with guns drawn. You know what I mean? Their duty was not to draw their guns. Their duty, their only duty, Bob, was to draw their guns and start shooting those fuckers in the face. That was their only duty at that very moment. That was their only duty. They had no other duty than to start shooting those fuckers in the face till they ran out of bullets. Okay? Now I'm, you know, I try to have pacifist beliefs, hold them. You know, I've had for, you know, since the late 60s, 70s, etc. But, I mean, that was their only duty. Their only duty. All of those people are deemed a clear and present danger to life and property at that moment. Am I incorrect in saying that?
I really don't think you are. I mean, there's a big difference between a bunch of people walking in and sitting down and engaging in a nonviolent sit-in. And as Darlene pointed out, they get treated a hell of a lot worse, actually. Disabled people dumped out of wheelchairs and dragged away.
Yeah. And
but, you know, these people had, if that's the part that just worries me about things like infiltration. When people are coming at you with guns, it's pretty clear that they are not of good intent, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm worried about our Capitol building.
It's probably going to be bat. It'll be batshit on Sunday, I'm sure. What is that, Santa Fe?
Oh yeah. Well, we got a bunch of nut fuck Christians out here. You know, I live in a county with a bunch of them, in a town with a bunch of them. You know, but anyway, I mean, their only duty at that point is to start shooting them fuckers in the face, pile the fucking bodies up. You know, every fucking face that was on the other side of that door, shoot them in the face. You know, send for more ammo so you can keep on shooting. So you have a stack of bodies so fucking high they'll never get in the door.
And maybe learn. You know what I mean? And maybe learn. Assuming, of course, that maggots are capable of learning.
Well, do you know where that gal got shot?
In the neck, coming through a window.
Yeah, but where? Where in the building?
Well, do you know?
I think I read something. They were trying to break in some adjacent room that was a room used by the speaker.
Well, she was coming through a broken window, and it was by a stairwell. That much is clear from the video. She had just come through a window, and bang. And is it absolutely known for a fact that it was a Capitol Police officer who shot her? Because I know a Capitol Police officer tried to render her first aid.
I'm not sure. I think he was. I'm pretty sure. I saw that it was a very short video clip, and I only caught a glimpse of it once. But apparently they were trying to break through the door to enter an area used by the speaker.
Okay.
Nancy Pelosi. Now it was adjacent to the, in other words, where the cops were holding all their guns and blocking the door with the piece of furniture. That I believe was the exterior door of the House chamber. In other words, the main door most people come in and out of, to come into the House chamber. And then these other doors are access to these rooms where they would enter the House chamber, sort of on the opposite side of the House chamber. That's where these rooms
James,
are.
James in Illinois is saying he thinks it was the entrance to the House floor.
No, the entrance to the House floor is where you saw the four guys with the guns.
Yeah, and the furniture stacked up in front of the door. Yeah,
right. That's the entrance to the House floor.
But I mean, where the woman was shot was a mob, because of course, but it was a mob scene. I mean, the people were crammed in, packed together. Hell, if she hadn't been shot and killed, she may well have died of the coronavirus subsequent, because nobody even cared.
Yeah, but when he shot her, all them other assholes backed off. That's how they were able to open the doors, get the body out.
Yeah.
And get her to the hospital without being trampled by. So all the fucking maggots took off. I hate to see, a young woman like that die, regardless of how extreme her political views. She was a maggot. You know what I mean? And she's got a right to be a maggot if she wants to be. You know what I mean? Just don't stick a fucking gun in my face.
Right. And that's where they lose the thread, Gary. They've lost the concept that your rights end where my nose begins. And they care about no one else's but their own. And that even dovetails into the stuff with the pandemic, because they're not going to wear a mask because they don't want to. And they don't give a damn about whether or not they're killing anyone else. They are solely centered upon themselves. They have absorbed the malignant narcissism of their god emperor.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know that most of these folks are irredeemable. Hillary's biggest fucking mistake. I hate bringing her name up, but when she says, well, half of them are deplorables in a basket, or the basket is half full with deplorables or something along that line.
I put about 47% of them in the basket of deplorables.
Yeah. And she should have doubled down on that, tripled down and quadrupled down. You know what I mean? Because,
We have tens of millions of truly horrible people in this country.
Yeah, and she should have, stood by instead of being apologetic, because most of them are they're beyond redemption, or bringing back from the fucking abyss they want to jump into. but they want to shove us in first. You know what I mean? You know, they all claim they're ready to die for Jesus, and
you've got some agreement coming from Les. Hey, fucking men, one shot, one kill. Let the mags and bodies hit the floor and reload for more, because they damn sure would have done that to me and anyone looking like me, Les says.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no question. There is absolutely no fucking question. They would still be mopping up blood at this fucking very moment if that was Black Lives Matter. They're just no question. I mean, you can see how the mentally, because, you know, all this, you know, everybody running everything right now are all, you know, as Mike says, Trump-flaters, you know?
Yeah.
That's all you got left in government this week. This guy was one of them. I forget who he said he was, but I don't know if
one of the long term jobs that is going to have to be done going forward is to sort out how deeply and how badly infiltrated military and law enforcement are in this country. And frankly, I know freedom of association, and I don't take that lightly, Gary. But the fact of the matter is, being a member of the 3%ers or the Oath Keepers or any of these other right wing organizations should be a disqualifying disability to service. And
you can't do that.
You can't have them in your ranks. They can be, you know, you can be drummed out for a lot less. But we're just going to have to do a better job of keeping them out. Robert in Australia is taking issue, saying shooting's not a good idea. Not sure if opening fire on the terrorists is such a good idea. It would have been the perfect excuse for the terrorists to start shooting back, and the terrorists were pretty well armed. It could have been far worse than 5 dead. Signed, Robert in Oz in isolation with a flooded bathroom. Damn it! I hate for the flooded bathroom.
It could be hundreds. It could have been hundreds that got killed. I was kind of happy it went down the way it did, you know, because there was a minimal loss of life during the course of it, you know.
And in the final analysis, that loss of life should have been zero, because none of this should ever have been allowed to happen. I mean, Jesus Christ, Gary, look at the videos that are out there. You know, I played the audio last night of the Super Mario music of the guy climbing the wall of the Capitol building, trying to get up over the railing.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
what kind of mentality takes over a person like that? Well, a mob mentality.
I don't know. Last week, you know, I tried calling in. I didn't get in. And, I did want to talk about, as Wednesday, as things were progressing Wednesday, you know, I wanted to see if I only get over the air channels on my TV, you know, so I get ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, and some other channels, but to watch the proceedings. And then I finally heard, okay, well, it was going to start at 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 o'clock my time. But I had turned on the TV and there was some beginning of the opening session on, I'm not sure which major network. But they were talking about, and they were having shots of from here and there and everywhere around the Capitol, et cetera. I had no idea that Trump was having this rally, you know, a mile or so up the road or down the road or wherever the fuck that was. I had no idea that that was taking place. But I'm watching these reporters, you know, on scene, and they had a reporter, you know, where I guess is your main doors on the Capitol building, you know, right in the middle, the rotunda and all that. What are your main front doors, I guess, would be called your front doors. On the opposite side.
Yeah, it's the east and east and the east and west faces of the Capitol. They were going up the west side. That's where the long sloping lawn is that goes down toward the lower part of D.C., the foot of the hill. The other side is now completely cordoned off with very limited exceptions, and it's all paved in cobblestone and everything.
Cobblestone. That side, okay, they pan to that side. And now this is about, I'm going to say, 45 minutes to an hour before the crowd started, you know, heading that way or whatever. Okay. But there was maybe 30, 40 maggots over on the grass across the street. I'll call it a street. I don't know if you call it a street plaza, but the cobblestone area, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a sidewalk and somewhere on grass, and it was maybe about 30 or so maggots kind of milling about, you know. And then she showed that. And they panned looking at the building, and the whole fucking building is open. And I guess that's where most people drive up, get out, and go in the building.
It is, and in good weather months when the House and Senate are in session, you can if you've got you can mill around out on that plaza, and actually talk to members about your legislation or whatever. We've done that in the Pursuit of the Eight campaign.
Yeah, okay.
And it's I imagine they're taking every possible precaution now, and it's just as well that this is happening in winter. But and Megan, by the way, says she thinks it was outside the speaker's lobby where the shooting took place. So
speaker's lobby,
lobby.
Yeah, you know that's an ante room to the floor, used by the speaker. Okay, that's not her office. It's not.
No. Her office is in a separate part. The speaker's lobby is a, I guess you would say, a tradition, a room designated by tradition.
Yeah. Okay. But on that side of the building, okay, that she was at, there was, 25, 30, 35 maggots or so kind of milling about over across that street area, cobblestone area, whatever you call it, and just kind of milling around. And there were all of three cops that I saw while she's panning this camera around. He's showing the maggots and, your people, MAGA here, are here for, they're starting to build up they showed some more walking toward that area, but it was a sparse crowd. That big body wasn't there yet,
Or it was on the other side of the building.
Huh?
Or it was on the other side of the building.
No.
Because all of this didn't take place on the cobblestone side.
Well, I know that. I'm well aware of that. No, they did. They did beat on the back doors, a whole bunch of them. But anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I think I did see I did see some video of that.
There's all the three cops across the street. In other words, they're down like on the side. I don't know if you call it a sidewalk or what, but on the pavement, below the steps, they're not up on top of the steps. They're not down, they're down on, they're on street level. I counted three fucking cops at the time. And of course I had no idea about Trump stirring them up in his fucking rally at all. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going, but they did show more were streaming toward that area. They were walking off across the grass, and they panned up the street, and they showed, a crowd coming down the street. also, you know, but it wasn't a really thick crowd, you know what I mean? But it was a bunch of people, you know, at least a couple of hundred anyway, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, it looked like, you know, there was going to be a bunch more people gathering up in this area. And it was all the three cops. And I'm thinking to myself.
Well, and that's the, yeah, go ahead.
I'm thinking to myself, this is not going to turn out well.
Well, and, you know? And that's the other thing that just drives me bananas. I have seen on multiple occasions when the Congress is in session, you know, when they're actually in session, there's that light at the very top of the Capitol dome that lets you know that Congress is in session. And there's Capitol Police all over the place. It's crawling with them. And that's just for an ordinary day in session. I can't get past, and I don't want to be accused of being some sort of 1621 truther or anything, but I can't get past the fact that it looks, because as I watched it in real time, Gary, I kept asking myself, have they been stood down? Because it's...
Absolutely.
On a day like this, knowing what's already happened in D.C., and you don't have every available bit of manpower. I mean, there were law enforcement, FBI, I think, who were staged, but they were too far away to be able to respond. Something about this just does not add up.
Oh, this is like the Kennedy assassination all over again. You know,
I mean, where were they? And because
they stood down,
officer. Lee in New York gave me the name. Officer Goodman is obviously in fear for his life. They're screaming that word at him, these godforsaken maggots. They're chasing him.
Oh, yeah.
And the question arises, yeah. You know, what would they have done had they caught him? And we know because we know what they did to the officer with the fire, what they did to him with a fire extinguisher. And he is on his walkie-talkie calling for backup. And he finally leads them into this one area where two other officers finally show up.
Yeah, no, this is a fiasco beyond belief. And then, I truly believe there was a stand down on use of force in particularly, you know, like I said, Bob, it is their only duty. Forget about the chamber door to the House floor, you know, the fucking outer door, you know, the Capitol building is closed off to everybody. The grounds are closed. You know, I mean, they breached the grounds first, you know, then they breached the building. I mean, they should have been fucking lined up, locked and loaded, ready. And as they came fucking through the doors and windows, just start shooting them. I mean, these are fucking.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to subdue them and put zip ties on them at that point, isn't it?
It's total threat to life and property.
And what you're talking about
any one of these maggots could have had a bomb vest on, or
zip tie guy was wearing body armor.
Yeah. And of course, some of them were armed. We don't know who they were or what they were, but I think their orders were, you know, if they don't shoot, you don't shoot. You know, I'm wondering what their standing orders was for use of day, or if there was any orders in their normal day-to-day standing use of force procedures.
I can tell you this much, Gary. On an ordinary, just regular business day in the Congress, and you're walking around good weather in D.C., a Capitol cop will come up and scream at you if you cross against a light. I'm not shitting you. I mean, it happened to Agnes.
Yeah.
He started screaming at her in the middle of the intersection, and she didn't know whether to go back or go forward. And that's just for trying to cross the street. And all of this taken together is precisely why I keep saying that this has to be the business of a special counsel. Because there's so much to be dug through here that it could hamstring law enforcement and prosecutors for eons and keep them from being able to get to the other stuff that desperately needs paying attention to. You need a special prosecutor to look into the Capitol Police, to look into the FBI, to look into every single response. You need a special counsel to look into what was going on at the Pentagon, and then you need a special counsel to pursue prosecutions against every single person who was there, who had any exposure whatsoever. There's talk about some insurrection and sedition charges going forward, but until these fuckers start getting charged with felony murder, it is not going to get the job done.
Well, sedition, insurrection is some pretty heavy jail time. But anyway, let me go to another point. Is not only was it a failure to protect the Capitol, but after they did start getting some reinforcements, okay, what I can't understand was why they didn't surround the building, surround everybody who was outside, cordon them all off. You know what I mean? Nobody fucking move. You know what I mean? And do a mass arrest. I mean, that's what happened to me in the fucking 70s. Well, 1970. You know what I mean? You had, you know, they arrested thousands, you know, at one time. I don't know how many was in the crowd, but at least the ones immediately outside the building, you know, I mean, all that could have been cordoned off, you know what I mean? And then you move in all directions into the building and start arresting people in the fucking building. You know, everybody who's in the fucking building, you know what I mean? You know, and
yeah, without fear or favor,
you know, You're not going to go through what you're going to do now to try to find these fuckers, you know. So here they have a massive breach of security, a direct threat of life and limb, and or life and property, you know. And they let them all go, pretty much. You know, what did they arrest the first night? You know, 20 people or something. Most of those was for curfew violation. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You know, I mean, that's what I really can't fucking figure out. You know, how they didn't go in with the orders to fucking, you know, arrest, take into custody everybody in sight. You know, everybody who was on a piece of government property that shouldn't have been there, you know, should have been arrested. Because the grounds is off limits because of COVID, you know. I don't know how much of it, but, you know, there's no more, there hasn't been any public, you know, no more public walkabout tours inside, no public access. In other words, like when you went, you'd get a pass so you could go in and blah, 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 and do your whatever. But this is wild, you know?
Well, it is. And according to Congressman Dan Killeen, James tells me, Capitol Police were about one-fifth of their strength. They were worried about optics at the administration level. And that just sounds like an excuse to me, Gary. We're worried about how it would look. But in point of fact, they wanted them weak because they knew what was coming.
Absolutely. Absolutely they know. No doubt, no question in my mind about it. This was a setup. The intent was to see a lot of people get killed. You know.
Well, and in point of fact, not necessarily. Yeah, maybe see a lot of people that get killed, but in particular, they were desirous of seeing Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence taken out.
Well, I'm not too sure about Mike Pence, but Democrats.
Oh no! Mike Pence refused to do something he couldn't do in the first place, and made no bones about saying it. The maggots were infuriated by it. And they will always go first after the people they perceive to be betrayers of their side. And so, yeah, they were after Pence, and they were after Pelosi.
I'm not too sure about that. But they would definitely kill Democrats because we're liberals and we deserve to die. That's the way these people think. I'll tell you what. If you didn't, and if you have time, and I don't know if you're a subscriber, I assume you got Mike's podcast. Listen to his podcast from last night. Man.
Okay.
Something else. Really something else, what he goes through. So he covers it, the crazy Christians. And their extremism and their crazy beliefs and all that shit. He talks about this with the Senator Hawley.
Oh yeah.
And a few of the others if you have access to it, the not only last night's show, but then the add on to it to the show, which is another 20-minute bit pretty much along the same line, but he goes through it pretty thoroughly. He's covering an article written by shit I can't think of her name and what publication she works for. I don't know if it was WAPO or.
And by the way, just so you know, Lee in New York reminds me that in fact the maggots were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence."
I know that. Yeah, I don't know.
So they were somebody was willing to string him up.
Yeah.
Because if you take out Pence and Pelosi, that means the next person in the line of succession would be, I guess, what, Chuck Grassley?
Yeah.
President pro tem of the Senate?
Yeah.
And so Donald Trump just rides down to the Capitol and declares himself president for life. Because see, he thinks the Constitution can be suspended.
He
doesn't understand why he can't be the one who does that. And now he's standing down at the border today saying,
"Joe Biden, be careful what you wish for with the 25th Amendment."
Joe Biden's rock solid. This shitbird couldn't walk down a ramp without help. Joe Biden's out there riding bicycles.
You know that there's a protocol. It's a protocol called the continuity of government.
Yes.
Okay. Of course, nobody can get to see it, and I've heard about bits and pieces of it over the years, going back to the 80s, about it. But essentially, I don't know if you're correct. I'm not too sure. It would depend on the circumstances necessarily. I think the president could invoke the continuity of government protocols, because the protocols do not preclude that. Well, the president's got to be taken out first. everything that I'm aware of it. I know some folks that are more aware of it, but everything that I've read, bits and pieces of it, you know, I haven't run across anything that would indicate that, you know, it takes some other underling or group of underlings to, in fact, activate it. So I don't know. I'm not too sure on that one. I don't, you know, none of us know for sure on that. But, no, he's, I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
No, we're not. Not by any stretch of the imagination. And I hope they go through Biden's Secret Service detail with a fine-proof comb, and if they find so much as the letter Q anywhere in it, that guy doesn't work the presidential detail.
Anybody that's got a name that has a Q in it?
At this point in time,
Like McQueen? If your name is McQueen, you're out.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Gary,
Harry McQueen, get out.
I trust the virus is still running wild where you are?
Oh, yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. I mean, I'm in a small town. I think yesterday we were up to 259, which is like working on percentages of between 25 and 30%. And up the road is getting pretty bad. The next town up and the town below me is getting pretty bad. It's 259 cases. We're a town of 1,800. You know, the town south of me is a town a little bit smaller than ours, and they've got 159, I think, something like that. Town up the road, 6,000, they've got 360 cases, et cetera. Yeah, so it's getting worse and worse. But anyway, I want to bring up one last point. On a theory that I have on impeachment, which I think should be moot, because simply to me, the purpose of impeachment is to remove somebody from office.
Yes.
So if you can't do it in the week you got left, there's no point in it.
Well, but there is. There is a point.
No.
I mean, yeah, because he will stand impeached as of this time tomorrow, most likely. And then you continue, if you have to continue the trial after the inauguration, you continue the trial after the inauguration, because there are things other than removal from office that go with impeachment, like the fact that if he is removed from office, he can never hold a position of trust or authority or profit.
Yeah. Well, that's automatic. That's automatic.
Only on conviction.
With conviction.
Yeah.
Yeah, on conviction. But, you know, if you can't convict him, which is still going to be the case, you know, you're not going to get him convicted. These guys are scared. They're scared shitless of the maggots. They'll never vote you'll never get 17 repukes to convict him. You might get two, you know, Mitt Romney and maybe Lisa Murkowski or some shit. But, you know, you're not going to convict him.
What happens if you get McConnell? What happens if you get McConnell?
Get McConnell what?
What happens if McConnell votes for impeachment? Or votes to convict?
Oh, he won't. He's scared shitless of maggots.
And yet he's out there telling people that he committed impeachable offenses.
Did he make that public statement?
Yeah, it's all over the press today.
Well, but that's behind the doors, you know, on attribution statements, the way I read it. Yeah, I read that stuff. But anyway, here's the gig that couldn't make it bad. Okay. If we go into Biden's term and trial in the Senate, regardless of when they bring the articles, to the Senate. Okay. What the possibility of what you could have? Last impeachment went like this. You know, House came over, prosecutors presented their case, rested, and then the defense had, and there wasn't much of a defense, you know, because Trump says, you know, I'm, you know, it was a perfect phone call, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so that was over with, and they voted, and there were no witnesses, and doo-ba-da-ba-doo, and it was over with. Okay. Even though it still took several weeks, right? Okay. This time around, this is going to happen. Okay. You're going to get the prosecutor over there and he's going to talk for 35 minutes and say, here, that's our case. We rest, bring on the defense. And now Trump brings in Rudy Giuliani and that stupid, dizzy woman, lawyer, and the other Lynn Wood or whatever the hell the guy's name is and whatever other crazies he can put together as a defense, Alan Dershowitz, as his defense team. And they're going to talk for the next, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months.
They'll be time limited.
6 months.
No, they can't.
A year.
They can't.
No. There's no time limit. It's a defense.
Think back to the trial. Think back to the trial we had a year ago. It was not unlimited.
No, forget that. Forget all of that. That's because the defense agreed to that. Let's say they want to go on forever. Why do you want to go on for 4 years? How do you stop them?
That's what the judge
does. How do you stop them?
The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court sits as the presiding officer and absolutely has the right to limit the amount of time consumed by either side.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
No, no, no. The Senate can still vote to override any decision he makes. It's the senators who's still going to call the shots.
So you think a minority of senators will be able to let the defense go on as long as they want? This isn't a new Senate. This isn't a Senate being run by Mitch McConnell, and he's not going to have a majority.
Oh yeah, I'm predicting it will be run by McConnell. Your boy. That fuckhead is going to jump ship.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he isn't. If he hasn't yet, he's not going to now. Because no.
Jumping ship at any other prior time meant nothing. Now, it's Manchin is worth his fucking weight in gold.
What can the Republicans give him that he doesn't already have? The one thing in the world he wanted was the chairmanship of the Senate Natural Resources Committee, which he will only have as it is now. All they can do is say, you get to stay that, and he will be roundly, soundly, and thoroughly and nationally despised. I know Joe personally. I don't see him jumping.
Because he's enjoying
his diva position now. If he jumps, he's just another goddamn Republican. But now every news network under the sun is crawling all over themselves to hear the sage wisdom of the senior senator from West Virginia, including today when he said he thinks impeachment is too divisive. Well, he's wrong, and he's wrong a lot. He also said that people don't need a $2,000 check because he's playing to the footlights. He loves the attention.
He's worth his weight in gold to the Republicans. Worth his weight in gold. He's going to flip.
He doesn't like McConnell. McConnell doesn't like him. I mean, McConnell came up here and actively campaigned against him.
Well, I don't know. I just have a bad gut feeling about it. He's going to fucking jump ship. He's going to jump ship when, shit, jump shit jump ship when he thinks Kamala Harris is getting too uppity. You know, he's going to get her off the well, she'll still be on the podium because she's still vice president. Don't get me wrong. But he's going to flip it. You know, he's going to flip it, you know, 50-51-49. You know,
but the thing is, he can do that. The thing is, Gary, he can do that 51-49 thing without changing parties and still maintain his power. There's no percentage in it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he has his chairmanship with the Democrats. He'll keep all that, but he'll just be a fucking Republican. He'll still be heading up the committee.
Right, but the one thing he does love the one thing he loves to do, Gary, and it's in the same vein as Robert Byrd. He loves to bring money back to West Virginia. And he will not make any friends by stabbing Joe Biden in the back. And so he won't be bringing as much money back to West Virginia. I've been all over this topic for years. And if there was ever a time for him to jump, it would have been a while back. As James in Illinois points out, he is the Democratic Party in West Virginia. He said he's against checks for everybody, but he said he wants to help people who lost their jobs. He is a conservative Democrat of the old form.
Nah, he's a fucking Republican.
Well, that's what being a conservative Democrat sometimes looks like.
I don't agree with that. I don't see a Democrat saying no, we shouldn't give financial help to the American people. No, we shouldn't extend the unemployment benefits.
We don't live in the era of old conservative Southern Democrats anymore. The John Sparkmans of the world, the Lester Maddoxes of the world would have had a baby before they would have seen a check cut to the American people.
He's just
a couple of generations. He's kind of a forgotten entity. But by the same token, a couple of days ago, he was saying that Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz had blood on their hands. Another Republican doesn't say that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know, whatever reason, one of my crazy conspiracy theories here.
Well, I mean, it could happen, but they'd have to give. I mean, hell, they'd have to let him be speaker. They'd have to let him be majority leader or something. There is nothing they can give him.
I don't know.
As Lee in New York points out, if he switched, he's just an extra vote. If he's a Democrat, he's a necessary vote, and they have to continue to court him, which means they give him things, which means things come back to West Virginia.
That could be true, but, I don't know. And of course, Lisa Murkowski, you know, she goes, well, what'd she say? Is she the one that's bailing out of the Republican Party?
Well, she said she might.
But she said she absolutely, I won't become a Democrat. You see, that's the fucking poison.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's the,
no,
poison.
She,
that's the mindset.
She can never become a Democrat. She's entirely a wholly owned subsidiary of the hydrocarbon industry in Alaska. She could never be a Democrat.
Yeah. No. But she's not saying it because of that. She's saying it because she believes to be a Democrat, you're the fucking spawn of Satan.
Yeah, I know. You eat deep fried baby on your cornflakes every morning. Absolutely. Yeah.
You had fucking 30 years. Well, not 30 years. Shit. What Nixon and Agnew used to do was fucking minuscule compared to, you know, after Reagan came in and started demonizing liberals and liberalism and the Democrats and et cetera, you know, and then you just had a build up to, you know, your main talk radio starting in 87, 8, whenever Rush Limbaugh came on the air demonizing liberals and liberalism and feminazis and this, that, and Democrats and what have you, you know, and that's constant drumbeat of the the right wing propaganda ministry, you know, blasting this shit out for 30 plus years, you know, daily consumption for, you know, whatever, however many hours a day on the talk radio, you know, and that basically, and this is the culmination of it. You know, these religious nut fuck Christians, they truly believe this stuff, you know, about killing Democrats and liberals and, you know, because we're the Antichrist, not Trump. You know, crazy shit. You know, got to be careful. And, you know, we'll see. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
Well, and that's kind of where we are, unfortunately.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries, no worries. I'd still do it too.
It's kind of hard, you know, because I looked at, you know, you got photos up here and there and whatever, especially the one, you know, with your big grin and your full beard and a cigar coming out of your mouth. You know what I mean? I'm looking and I'm going, something just doesn't fit here.
I'm working on it. You know,
something doesn't work here. You know what I mean? If I had to look at a bunch of photos and say, you pick the one that you think is transgender, you know?
Yeah.
I would never pick that one.
Well, and I changed my profile pics on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, hopefully, to make things a little bit simpler for folks. And there's no cigar. And at this point in time, there wouldn't be a cigar. There wouldn't be a cigar anyway, because I'm a proud former smoker. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you're not going to lose all your characters, are you?
Oh, no, nothing's going away. The goofy voices aren't going anywhere.
No, your Aussie character and your Rush Limbaugh character.
Crocodile Kincaid? He couldn't possibly leave.
Richard Nixon character.
It was the Jews, Henry, the Jews.
You know, you do them well. You really do. You really do. I sometimes try them in the mirror, you know. That's why I say, fuck, you ain't even close, man. You ain't even close. Yeah, I used to think I used to do a mean Richard Nixon, you know. But so I don't know.
Over time, I will work on my speaking voice and try to change the pitch and the resonance of it a little bit. But that is a really long time consuming process that takes a shit ton of work. Because it has to become automatic. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just playing a character. And I'm not playing a character.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You are who you are.
Yeah. It's refreshing. Yeah, they told me.
Well, that's good. You know, you said, I forgot. I heard you on one program. Usually I'm in and out through this time period, you know, and I don't catch, you know, the entire show, you know what I mean? And, so I know I caught some part of it, you know what I mean? And you were talking about, the fact that, you know, it's not like a coming out thing to the world. It's like a coming out of, you know, freedom and relief for yourself, you know. And, you know, that's important. So
it is. And it's making a tremendous, impact in my own life. And
well, yeah, I mean, you got to be able to look at yourself honestly in the mirror and, you know, be able to figure out who you are, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, because we all go through those things of asking those existential questions. You know, I felt like I asked mine many, many decades ago and figured out the answers, you know?
Yeah.
And it took you a little longer. That's all.
Well, I mean, I've been asking the questions all my life, but being able to act on them is act on the answers is another matter entirely. Gary, it's been it's been a great conversation, and I guess I'm going to wrap things up because we're not that far from the end of the program. But by the way, you did. Mike in Cascadia sent a note on about our conversation about Manchin. Mike says, in a recent podcast of The New Abnormal with Molly Jong Fast and Rick Wilson, James Carville listed three things Biden will do at the start of his term. Number one on the list was calling in Joe Manchin and asking Joe what he needs in West Virginia from an infrastructure bill. Number one on the list, according to James Carville, was taking care of Joe Manchin. And Mike points out, that fits with what I just said. And there's no, there's no percentage in it for him to bail out. So,
I mean, it fits with what I just said too. I mean, Biden's not a fucking dummy, you know. He knows he's got to keep this guy in the fold. He's worried about him jumping ship. I'm sure that's why.
It's not so much worried about him jumping ship. It's making sure that he's on board for the agenda so that we can get to the point where Kamala Harris breaks those 50-50 ties.
We'll see. But anyway, so. We just keep our fingers crossed and, cause I think most of these maggots, you know, and I could be wrong. I'm hoping for this, that they just sort of melt away, once Trump is out of office and they start receiving some benefit from Joe Biden. You know what I mean? You know, cause these maggots have come up with an additional $1,600 or $2,000 or whatever, you know what I mean? They know it. They're going to know they can't lie to themselves and say this is because of Trump, you know? So, but yeah, it's a, keep our fingers crossed. Keep our fingers crossed. So.
Indeed. Indeed. But, Gary, take care of yourself and please stay safe. You are in a dangerous place, Robin. My friend.
I am. You too.
All right. You take care now.
Everybody out there in the community, folks, jump on in, help out where you can. You know, do the best you can. That's all we can do.
Much appreciated. And you know what? There is a little bit of good news. Colin jumped in a little bit ago, and actually, we're finished with fundraising for yesterday and last week, and we even took a bite out of this evening, so we're at like $295. We're at $295 for finishing the evening, which is awesome in light of the fact that I've got this monster of a damn bill to take care of, by tomorrow. So thank you very kindly to Colin. That was huge.
Okay. All right. Have a good evening, everybody.
All right. Take care, Gary.
Watch out for the maggots. Yep. Bye.
Bye now. And, that was a great conversation and I appreciate it immensely. I just, I'm the person who once authored an op-ed in the Charleston Gazette actively telling Joe Manchin to jump ship. And there were a lot of reasons why he might have. But the guy, I know this is weird and I know it's going to drive you crazy, but Joe Manchin actually thinks he's a Democrat. He thinks he is a Democrat in the classic mold of conservative Appalachian Democrats. you know, he and former vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine may very well get along fabulously. Because, you know, nobody, you know, we're not going to have any big institutional changes. And as head of the Natural Resources Committee, they'd have to put him in, they'd have to leapfrog him over a Republican who's very fond of being the head of the Natural Resources Committee. So I don't see it. And as to stimulus, Jeremy in Vermont says, I received my stimulus check in the form of a check last night. And yes, of course, it was signed by Donald J. Trump. The J stands for
just really, really sad. You have no idea how much I've been hurt. That's how it feels.
Yeah. And just by way of wrapping things up, perhaps with a little bit of a giggle, because we desperately need one. Well, wait a second. Arnold says, I think there will be some Republicans siding with Democrats in the Senate. And if McConnell thinks that it will make life easier to purge the Republican Party of maggotry, well, that's him being simple-minded. But if he can convince other Republicans of the truth of that, then suddenly it becomes the Senate trial of the impeachment becomes a very different animal altogether. I mean, we know that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and Josh Hawley will stand up and bray and bootlick because it's who they are. And we know some other ones will, too. But we know Pat Toomey is saying he should resign. We know Lisa Murkowski's unhappy. Bishop Willard Romney's not a fan. And so if you can keep Manchin on board, you're at 53, and you got to get to 67. Unless, as Steve pointed out earlier, the maggot senators take a hike. So give it some thought. All I can say is it's going to keep getting interesting. And Matt Cawthorn, we've spent a lot of time talking about Hawley and Cruz and people like Mo Brooks, Les Brames. Madison Cawthorn is a noob-ish. He looks like he's about 12. And it turns out that back in December, when he was co-signing the coup and was talking to Turning Point USA, he said he would help fundraise for primary challenges to Republicans who didn't join on with his sedition. What he said was this: call your congressman and feel free. You can lightly threaten them and say, you know what, if you don't start supporting election integrity, I'm coming after you. Madison Cawthorn is coming after you. Everybody's coming after you. That little fucker needs to be checked into. Randy Radar pointing out, Toomey will vote for conviction. And you know what? If McConnell announces that he's voting for it, a lot of others may follow. So bear that in mind. James in Illinois, in regard to impeachment, says it's going to turn into at least a minor waterfall. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it winds up being like the impeachment of Andrew Johnson. Maybe it falls one vote short. But I think there's a vested interest in this country in trying to prevent him from ever holding office again, seeking office, or, more importantly, trying to make a fast buck off the government. You realize it might even impact his ownership of that tacky-ass hotel in downtown D.C. on Pennsylvania Avenue? That thing is a lease from the government of the United States. And breaking, Mike in Cascadia shared this with me. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, who bragged about her desire to carry a weapon on Capitol Hill, is currently in a standoff with Capitol Police at the newly installed metal detectors outside the chamber doors. She walked through with her bag, which set off the magnetometers, refused to offer the bag over to be searched, and is now in a standoff with Capitol Police. They won't let her in until Boebert shows them what's in her bag. She won't, and now she's standing by the entrance of the chamber. Ryan Noble's reporting. She's been led into the chamber. It was unclear from my vantage point if the Capitol Police searched her bag and she went in. Ryan Noble's, of course, at CNN. She is respectful but defiant. Well, that's some serious bullshit language. And Hakeem Jeffries tweeted, Donald Trump Jr. is now under criminal investigation in the District of Columbia. Keep the pressure on every single person who incited the violent attack on the Capitol. Agnes just sent that along. Son of a gun. Bust him down to the ground. Yeah. So, like I keep saying, it's only going to get interestinger. And so we come to the end of the program this evening. Had a lot more content, but regardless, I've got a story I want to bring to light. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow for prayer meeting Wednesday. It's not really a prayer meeting story, but it has to do with, theocratic governance. And it's on the loose again as a lot of states move into their legislative seasons. Ugh. And, of course, you know, it's going to come from down south. Oh, hell, it's going to come from Alabama. Who am I kidding? So thank you, everybody, who jumped in with the thank you for the challenges to Darlene and to Jeffrey and Joey and to Ralphs. Thank you. Thank you all very kindly. We filled in a good bit of the hole. So the fundraising goal tomorrow will only be $595, which is a lot better than, you know, $1,000. So thank you. Thank you for that. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program over the years in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Brand new Malloy, hot and fresh, ready at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at headon.live. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Ben got the staples out of his knee today. Let the healing continue. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And remember, a lot of people ordering from Amazon these days. If you go to smile.amazon.com and nominate Coal River Mountain Watch as the recipient of your donor dollars, a portion of every purchase you make will go to Coal River Mountain Watch and truly go to the grassroots struggle to save to save Appalachia. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. If you can stay home, please do. Oh, I had a note from Todd, and I want to share that before we go out the door, because this is magnificent stuff. Todd noted while I was talking to Gary, the footage that keeps coming out showing the siege on the Capitol is chilling. For the past number of years, we often hear from a certain group that when black people are shot down by police in a judge, jury, and executioner fashion, that the suspect should have complied and please move on with life because they were going to do something wrong anyway. The group of terrorists meant harm. They should have been met with lethal force. We cannot afford to let the castle fall on national television. It doesn't matter if the phenotype of the individuals involved. If we don't stop this now, they will feel more emboldened. Why are they so scared to shoot white people? We have to hear the answer from their mouths. I can't shoot them because they're white. They've already shown that they have no moral compass. Eugene Robinson this morning used the term deprogrammed to describe a remedy for these people. This may be necessary. It is unfortunate but true. They must be taken to a facility where they will be stripped, weighed, and given simple clothing. Their weight will indicate how much water and calories it takes to sustain them at a minimal level. This is the beginning of a deprogramming protocol. Behaviorism has a dark side, and it works. We've been talking about the infiltration for some time. It is not coincidence that this happened, and this problem is much larger than we think. Remember, please, the Turner Diaries and Timothy McVeigh. And Gary kind of blew Asa away. Holy shit, 250 people infected in a town of 1,800? We had 1,000 cases for a province of 6.5 million the other day, and that was a record for new daily cases. It is, breathtaking how bad this country is at all of this. So, like I said, the best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you cannot stay home, then take every precaution, please. Wash your hands, wear your mask, carry hand sanitizer with you, wear your gloves if you've got them. Maintain your social distance 10 feet between people with masks, and you really can't afford to be in the same area code with someone who isn't. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you and says, what you got to do is threaten your congresspeople lightly, avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later, y'all.